Philippines, and he came over with Brother Calaf and Frankie Stubblefield and some other men, and we did a mission conference. And I think that missionaries ought to go to other countries, amen? But they ought to preach the gospel, and not only preach the gospel, but they ought to get their converts to come to church and to be baptized, amen? And then they ought to start a church. And so we go preach the gospel, get people saved and baptized and whatever, and then we start churches. But then I think national churches ought to start supporting missionaries. I think everybody ought to support missionaries because God wants everybody saved. And the thing about starting churches in other countries, like we started Gospel Baptist Church and other churches over there, is they know the result of a missionary because a missionary came to them. See, a church back here loved them enough to obey God and wanted to be obedient to God and get the gospel into all the world, so they sent them a missionary. So when I got up to preach on missions, they had the impact of a missionary coming to them. And because of that, they were willing to get into involved in missions and whatever. And boy, I've never seen people like people around the world that give sacrificially. I mean, they give their food for days or maybe even weeks at a time to be able to give an offering or whatever. And of course, in the Philippines, when I first got there, our offerings were excited. I don't know if you get excited about your offerings here, but we get excited about our offerings there because they would bring pigs and goats. And they'd bring pineapple, and they'd bring mangoes, and they'd bring rice, and they'd bring all kinds of stuff. And so our offerings were, you know, just to see somebody carry a pig down the aisle was worth it all, amen? And I'll tell you what, someone said, does it bother you when people move around when you preach? You can do whatever you want. It won't bother me because I'm preaching anyway, amen? But, man, we used to have an old bamboo building when we started out. Rats would go across the bamboo, bats would fly in, dogs would walk down the aisle. I mean, it was a circus out there anyhow, and I was just the ringleader, amen? And so I'd just get up and preach, but God did a great work. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Because of time, I'm not going to be able to preach the whole message, but I'll give you the thought. And, you know, I want you to take the thought with you, because today's Mother's Day, and the restaurants will be full, and some of you look like you need to go eat, amen? And there's one half that's hungry and the other half still asleep. And so when you wake up, you'll join the other half and go eat. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want us to look here and we'll start with verse 8. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And the Bible says this, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will deliver, yet deliver us." Verse 11 here. "Ye also helping together by the prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks be made given by many on your behalf." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, thank you for what you're doing with Heritage Baptist Church. Father, it's exciting to see all that's going on this morning. People coming, the Word of God being taught, and being able to encourage and strengthen other people, just to be together, to praise you and to worship you. And so, Father, we're thinking about the mission conferences. And Father, as we slept during the night, you were at work through this mission program around the world. Hundreds and thousands of people were saved and people were baptized. And by your grace, a church was started. So, Father, you've done so many things. And now it's our time on this side of the world. And Father, be with everybody that's opened up the Word of God this morning. And Father, thank you for this church and for Pastor Shears and his wife and for these dear members. Now, Father, do a work that only you can do. Change the life of the Christian and save the lost. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to thank you for everything that you're doing for us, the hotel, the meals, and everything. But I want us to look at this portion of Scripture, and I can just give you a thought this morning because time is very short. But I want you to look at verse 11. Well, and it says here, "Ye also helping together by the prayer for us." Now, they were going through a difficult time. Look at verse 8. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble that which came upon us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, and insomuch that we despaired even of life." And so we look at this, they were going through a difficult time in Asia. And of course, when you're going forward with the gospel, and we don't understand this, I think today we need to understand that we're in a battle, amen? We're in a battle, a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare, and we're after souls. I don't know about you, but I want as many people to go to heaven as possible. And I know this church does that. Now, this church has a great soul winning program, and you run the buses, and you have Sunday school and whatever. But I want to tell you something. We're in a battle, and it's a battle to get things done for God. I don't know about you, but the more I try to accomplish for God sometimes, it seems like the harder it gets. And so we look at this portion of Scripture. They're going through a difficult time. But look at verse 11. I like this. Ye also help it together by prayer for us. Man, pray for your missionaries. Pray for each other. Come together and pray and do this. But I want to look at this. For the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And so we look at a world today and it's 7 billion people and there's so many things going on. And the world needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at this one word here. And then in verse 11, a gift. There is a gift that must be given. Amen? There's a gift that must be given. I watched Brother Shears give out the gifts and I've been giving out the gifts. And boy, there's joy in giving a gift. Amen? Do you like to give something? Well, you know, I like to be able to give a gift and help people and give people things or whatever. I hope that you have a giving spirit because God has a giving spirit. When God looked at you and I and we were lost on our way to hell, God gave His only begotten Son. The longer we live and the more we love God and the more we study God, we understand He was a giving God. Amen? God is always a giving God. When you first get saved, and you're taught to give. And man, you're taught to tithe and whatever, and we struggle with, I don't know what it is, but when it comes to working for God and doing things for God and doing things for the church and doing things for missions or whatever, we struggle when it comes to the financial part. And I don't know why we struggle with that, because God promised to take care of us. God promised to take care of every need that we have. And it's hard. And I was there when I first got saved. And the pastor said, "Man, you need to learn to tithe." And I'm thinking, "How in the world can I tithe? I got so many bills or whatever." And that's one of our problems. We get ourselves so in debt. The devil's so wise that he gets us suspended and get ourselves in debt to where we can't help God. And we can't help the people that God wants us to get done. And so, boy, the preacher said, "Well, you need to tithe." And I thought, "Man, I can't do that," and whatever. And I was on the way to work on a bus route. And I stopped at the store to pick up a couple of treats for the kids on the bus route. And I already decided that morning, I can't tithe. There's no way I can afford to tithe. And I was in the store buying something. And a guy comes in and says, "Who owns that 1968 Impala Chevy outside?" I said, "Man, I do." He said someone just backed into the back of it, broke out the taillights and everything else, and drove off. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? God got his. God got his. Do you understand? God's going to get it one way or the other. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather give it to him than have him come and find a way to get it from me. I don't want him to have to make me sick or whatever or go through something just for him to get it. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to get it one way or the other. And boy, it's good that we can give it joyfully. And so we're looking, but we need to tithe. We need to give. And I first started praying. I said, "Well, God, give me this and give me that." And I was excited when God gave it. Did you ever get excited when God gives you something? Boy, but after a while, you begin to mature as a Christian. You're not in love with the gift, but you're in love with the giver. Amen? And so we see this here. It takes a gift. If we're going to send the gospel around the world, we're going to help these missionaries, and we're going to be with the missionaries in Honduras and the missionaries to Brazil and Brother Vest working with that work there in Asia and whatever. Man, you understand, it's going to take a gift. This is what Mission Conference is about. I hope that you've been praying and that you would yield to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. So let me say, it's going to take a gift. It's going to take an offering. It's going to take faith promise. It's going to take a gift to get something done for them. And boy, I like that. You know, boy, it's going to take a gift. Let me move on a second. Look at this. There must be a gift given. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to go around the world, someone's going to have to finance it. You know what God's asked us to do? God's asked Heritage Baptist Church to be a part of financing the gospel around the world. Now, if I'm going to be involved in anything, if I don't make any kind of investment, I want to invest in what God's invested in. God has invested in me. Man, He sent Jesus Christ to die for me. God's invested in you. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. God's invested so much in you. Can't you give a gift that someone else can have what you and I have? Not only that, there must be a gift given by, point number two, by the means of many persons. Look at this verse again. "For that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons." There must be a gift given. Amen? We must give that gift, but by the means of many persons. I like that. That means everybody can be involved. I get excited about that. I like it when everybody can get involved. I like it when the little children get involved. Amen. Man, like I said in Sunday school, man, we need to start getting our children involved in what we're doing. One reason we're losing our children, you know why we're losing our children? Because we're not taking them with us, getting them involved in what we're doing. We're not doing it together as a family. Look at, man, we got to be into this thing. Man, you got to be bringing your children to church and taking them out and taking them serving and spend time with your children. Amen. It's sad you send them off to some sports program and they'll be out there playing volleyball in this field next over. And man, they'll do everything else except serve the Lord together. Man, I like it. Man, in this faith promise, mission giving, get your children involved in it. Man, teach them to give to it. Give them a quarter. Man, I like it when they read off the faith promise cards and they pass them out. And they'll go, this guy's giving $20, and this guy's $50 a month, and this guy's $100. And then there's a 5 cents. And then there's a dime or a quarter. You know what that's telling me? That's the future givers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Man, we need to learn to get excited about what God's doing. And look at, by the means of many persons, that means our children, that means teenagers, adults, single moms, single parents, or whatever. And it means, look at, man, by every person, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to go around the world, there must be a gift given by many people.
Amen.
Not just a handful. You know why our churches struggle? You know why we struggle to do everything for God? Only certain people want to participate. Not everybody's excited about it. Not everybody wants to be involved in it. It's amazing to me that we just say, well, let someone else do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do it. Well, bless God, I'm in.
Amen.
I'm in, bless God. The day I got saved, I'm in. I didn't get saved. Like I said, I didn't get plugged into 110. I got 220, bless God. That's been 44 years ago, amen. And I said, I'm in, God. You may not be getting much, but whatever you got it all, amen. We need to get into it. By the means of many persons, we need all of you to get involved. We need everybody to give a gift. I don't care what size gift you give. Because you know what? Man, whatever you give, God's going to multiply it.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, the little. Man, read your Bible all the time about the little that's given to God and whatever. It's, you know, it's not what you're giving. It's your willing spirit and your willing heart. When God says, man, you're willing, God says, I can take care of it. God's not limited in resources. God can pour resources through you. God can take what little you have. I can tell you story after story. I've got little children that come up sometimes and they'll give me $5 of this or a quarter here, a quarter there. And man, I'm telling you what, go someplace and buy a $5 Bible and take it somewhere. I'm giving this Bible away. Somebody go out and bring 80, 90, 100 visitors to that Bible. See, I think it is this. When we give financially, we think we're going to only reap financially. Follow that. I don't want to. Look, I like the financial part. But you know what I like more than the financial part, reaping the finances? I like the eternal reaping. People being saved. I've seen the gospel. Man, Jesus Christ is eternal. The gospel is eternal. People that get saved is eternal. Man, I'm telling you what. Yes, I love the financial reason. I said, God, if I give to you, will you help me financially? God said, no problem. But I said, more than that, would you help me to invest in eternity?
Amen.
There's a gift that must be given by many persons. And look at this last thing and I'm done. Thanks may be given on the behalf, on our behalf. Look at this. Ye also help me together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Boy, there's a gift that must be given, and must be given by many persons, but thanks may be given on our behalf, by many on our behalf. Oh boy, you see this. Boy, we don't understand it. You're not going to see all this. You're seeing a little bit of the videos of people being saved and what you've invested in, and you supported the best through these years, and you look at these other videos, the other missionaries come in, and you start seeing what people being saved. You see them being saved, you see them being baptized, you see churches starting, you see the gospel going on, and what's going to happen? One day we're going to meet those people.
Yeah, cool.
You understand me? You say, well, man, you know why it's so hard for churches to give? Because they can't see the results. You know why some of you won't give? Because they won't be at the back door saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. They won't be at the back door, and you won't be reaping here for what's happening over there now. But in eternity you will. You know what they do? Look, many people come up to the missionaries in the foreign field. They'll come up and they'll go, oh, Brother Heidenreich, or Brother Vest, or Brother Matthews, and the rest of them, they'll say, oh, thank you. Thank you so much for coming. But they knew that there was a gift on the other end. They know when missionaries come that they're not, it's not just the missionary spending for them. They know there's a group of people on the other side of the world. That's you, amen? They know that if they look at, tell them thank you. They'll come up and say to the missionary, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. But many of them will say thank you, but also thank you for those who are sending. And when you get to heaven, They'll come up to you and you won't know them. Different nationalities. They'll all come up. And those people have been saying to come up and go, thank you. Thank you for that gift. Thank you, all the people that were involved. The many people were involved. Thank you. I first went to the Philippines. A lady came up to me and she said, I've been praying 18 years for a missionary to come to the area. She said, 18 years I have been praying. I've heard about a missionary from the other places. And I said, and of course, it was way back in the mountains, and it was communist infested with communist rebels and whatever, and a very dangerous, dangerous place when we first went there. We had church members shot, and we got to go on all that. It was a dangerous time. And she said, man, no missionaries really want to come back to the back mountains. But she said, I have been praying 18 years.
Yes.
God spoke to my heart. And we went there, my wife and I and children went there. God was so gracious, not because of what we were, but because He was so hungry for those people to hear the gospel. They were white unto harvest, but because someone gave us a gift. We were given the gift of support.
Amen.
We were given by many people back here. Many people back here were given to us. And she came, and she told me about the area, and I went there. And I can't tell you the story. Thousands upon thousands of people saved and baptized, and churches have been started, and these men have seen it, and it was a miracle back there. Not because of me, but because of God's love for those people. That lady has been in that church now 27 years. Praying, and she's given to the ministry, and she gives the missions now. She gives to those in Thailand and Indonesia and different places, all because it started with a gift by many people. Now, many people will be thankful and will thank you in the future because of what you've given. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, I pray that you would do your work. Father, I pray that the people here would yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And just do what you want them to do, Holy Spirit. Just do their part. And so, Father, I pray that you'd speak in the invitation now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart today. I don't know where of course, we've called this Visionary Mission Conference. That's our theme, Visionary. I hope that God has given you a vision about your life. And maybe about your giving. Of your children. Of your own life. Of your finances. But your giving. I'm going to ask this couple questions. Number one, you're here today and you say, Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. That preacher's been preaching about going into all the world and preaching the gospel and telling people to get saved. It'd be a terrible thing that I stay here. I'm an American, hear it all the time, that I would not know for sure if I'm saved. Today I want to do that. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. You heard a preacher today also preaching about going into all the world and preaching the gospel and then baptizing. Boy, that's a terrible thing. Our church sends money all over all over the world to get people to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. And we got them in our own church that hadn't even done what the Bible says. And then you hear them preaching about starting these churches. Let me tell you something. You need to belong to a local church. You say, but preacher, we may not be here very long. You know how quick it is to change your membership? You walk forward, the preacher says, hey, welcome. And then when you go to your next church, the pastor says, welcome to our church. That's not too tough. You ought to be a member of a local church. And many, some of you, God has spoke to you about going to missions. God's calling today. Just, it's your opportunity to go. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, pianist is going to play. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. Why don't you walk this aisle? Take me by the hand and say, Preacher, today I want to get saved. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I've been saved. I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. We spend so much money sending other people out, but boy, if I'm not even a member, that's kind of scary, kind of strange. Or maybe today God's calling you to give your life to missions. You said, but preacher, I can't go. Well, you can pray. Preacher, I can't go. You can give. So others can go for you. You don't get out of it. It's a call from God. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. That was to all of us. And not just to missionaries and preachers. It's to all of us. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You come. Preacher, I need to follow Lord and believers' baptism. You come. You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. You come. Preacher, God has called me to missions. Whether it be going or financial or what is God doing in your heart? Are you allowing God to do something in your heart? Are you allowing Him to do something in you? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with us today. There is so much in our lives that take precedent. Scripture teaches us that we're to glorify the Heavenly Father. And we're to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Just a month ago, we rejoiced at the fact that you rose from the grave. We worship you for being willing to take the stripes and the beating and the flogging and the cursing and the nails in the hands and nails in the feet and the sword in the side and the crown of thorns. But dear God, where's our repayment to you? Convict our hearts greatly. Show us. Make it evident. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.